I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will shout aloud. The very stones will cry out. I was surprised when I read, and indeed was told, that there would have been few palms evident in Jerusalem that day. I felt I definitely had to check it out. Of course, Luke's gospel doesn't mention palms, as you will have noticed. It talks about the garments that people spread on the road. I checked with Mrs. Musgrave, who said there were date palms in Jerusalem now, but evidently it was too dry a place for such plants long ago. And the other Gospels tell us that people pulled branches from the trees to wave when Jesus rode into the city. But it isn't specific about the species, although we can probably be certain that Cordylinus australis was not among them. The idea of the palm leaves that we have today comes from the early church, as I said, and it was part of the attempts to teach people who were illiterate about the life of Jesus. It sought to bring them emotionally and imaginatively into the story of Holy Week, just as there were miracle plays on carts in the streets in medieval times, and indeed these plays are still occasionally produced in York and in Coventry. They were there to enact the story of Jesus' sacrifice. And in early days, and even in more recent times, church people went out round the church with their palms and catkins and spring branches to wave on Palm Sunday. And indeed, in some European countries, it's called Willow Sunday for that reason. The palm crosses were a later variation and part of a more elaborate ritual, which of course includes the burning of the palms for Ash Wednesday, when ash is imposed on the foreheads of the faithful in the Roman Church. Many ministers too will have been trying to get a donkey booked for their service today. The success of such plays, like our own Passion plays in Princes Street Gardens over the years, has proved that it's a sign of the same thing that can be effective. A tradition that can put us in touch with an event which actually happened in history and can help us, like our medieval forebears, to envisage and imagine the reality of its meaning, that following Jesus as he walks the path that he has chosen is really important. And we too can cry out and cheer the Anointed One. We can shout, Hosanna. Now, you might have noticed as well that Luke doesn't use the word Hosanna in his speech, in his narrative about the entry into Jerusalem. He gives us other slogans which were heard that day about the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You may remember that phrase from Mothering Sunday when Jesus spoke about his love for Jerusalem and his return in Luke 13. Luke 13:35. Your temple will be abandoned. I assure you that you will not see me until the time comes when you say, God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Scholars think that Luke didn't use Hosanna in deference to Gentile Christians, readers of the gospel who might have difficulty with that Hebrew word. I always tell boys and girls that they can shout hooray, or indeed any other cheer that they want. Nowadays they'd be rapping or shouting some slogan or other. And Hosanna, of course, is something you can say in your own language. Lord on high, Save us is what it means. This is a call that the world still needs to make. We have already noticed that Jesus does indeed come as a king, but a king of peace. This is an important part of the fulfillment of God's purpose, and it's part of the plan that Jesus has made, because he certainly planned this event. We know that from the fact that the donkey was ready and the upper room was ready. He had an idea, maybe not the whole way, but he had an idea of what he was in for. And of course, the fulfillment of God's purpose is one of the factors that seals Jesus' fate, because it will not meet the expectations of those who hope for that militaristic leader. The fact that Jesus appeared as one coming in peace doesn't prevent the carping resentment of those who are hostile to his message. Those among the leaders and rulers of Jewish society who are there to criticize and to look out for any slip-ups, to make sure that no offenses are being committed, no laws broken. So they are quick to ask Jesus to quieten down his followers. If the story that we heard read, if the scenario that we can imagine being acted out helps us to understand what has happened and what did happen historically, then Jesus' reply to those critics adds to our understanding a truly cosmic dimension. The stones crying out. It isn't just the world of men and women which needs this salvation of God. Christ is coming for all creation, for a universe, for an infinite empire of which we are only a small part. The planet, the universe, space. Even the stones will cry, Hosanna, Lord on high, save us. Some translators of the New Testament speak of the stones of the road, these being cobbles or pebbles or paving slabs. They were there for people to see and walk on. Others suggest that the stones of the city of Jerusalem, the architecture of the buildings, the stones that have been quarried and worked and shaped and built into majestic forms. Another scholar brings in a reference to an ancient graveyard on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, which was for 1,000 years the resting place of faithful people. So Jesus may be saying, even if you hush the living, the faithful dead who are buried here will speak out. Then, of course, we may remember Jesus' warning of destruction to come when no stone will be left upon another. And what about casting the first stone? There's a lot about stone in the Bible. But I think we are meant to think of the stone that is the substance of the created universe. The stone that goes back to the Big Bang and even further than that. The tectonic plates, the rock of ages, the wonderful meteors and comets that we can still see in our night sky moving through space and time. And then we come down to the stone in our saying, you can't get blood out of a stone. And of course, we know about hearts of stone. We've sung about them and thought about them. We may even have experienced them. And that stone that was rolled away when the Lord on high saved us. We have to admit that the world needs this Savior, the King of Peace. We have to be sure that we join in the cry, Lord, save us. But also that we keep that cry up day by day in our lives and witness, so that we keep working for the kingdom to which Jesus leads us through his death and beyond ours. The stones will indeed shout out at the coming of the Lord. Amen.